Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily. Today is Friday, and we have a packed show for you.
We certainly do. Before we jump into the news, looking outside this morning, it is a bit gray out there. We are sitting right around 56 degrees with overcast clouds and pretty high humidity at 94%.
Yeah, it is a mild and cloudy start. Those overcast skies are going to stick around for most of the day, warming up to a high of about 73 degrees by early evening.
The good news is the skies are expected to clear up completely overnight. Tomorrow is looking beautiful, with clear skies and temperatures sitting comfortably in the low 70s by the afternoon. Enjoy this mild weather while you can, though. The National Weather Service is tracking a significant heat wave moving in next week, with temperatures expected to climb well above 90 degrees. That is a sharp contrast to our current mid-50s. They are also monitoring the potential for severe storms in southwest Michigan as that heat moves in. So we will keep you updated on any weather warnings as they develop.
Absolutely. All right, let us dive into our first story today. We are starting today with what could be a generational transformation for downtown Grand Rapids. The state has officially granted $10 million for the Grand River Restoration Project.
This is a massive milestone. For over a decade, the Grand Rapids Whitewater Initiative has been working toward the goal of literally putting the rapids back in the Grand River. This $10 million state grant is the final major piece of public funding needed to get the excavators in the water.
Let us break down where this money is actually going. According to the state disbursement plan, $4 million is earmarked specifically for the removal of the four beautification dams currently in the river. Those dams were installed nearly a century ago, and frankly, they have become a drowning hazard due to the hydraulic currents they create.
Exactly. Removing them is step one for safety. Then another $6 million from this grant is dedicated to habitat restoration and creating public access points. A huge part of that environmental work involves relocating endangered mussel species that currently live in the project zone. Biologists have already started mapping out relocation beds upstream. The economic projections attached to this project are staggering. The city impact study estimates that a restored river with recreational access will generate a $30 million annual boost to downtown businesses. They are anticipating a surge in ecotourism, with people coming in to kayak, fish, and raft right through the city center. That economic boost is going to ripple through the hospitality sector. Hotels, restaurants, and retail spaces along the riverfront are already preparing for the increased foot traffic. But it is not without its environmental caveats. One of the biggest points of discussion has been the sea lamprey. Right, the sea lamprey is an invasive, parasitic fish in the Great Lakes. Currently, the 6th Street Dam acts as a barrier, preventing them from traveling upstream to spawn. If you remove the dams to restore the rapids, you risk opening the door for the lamprey to devastate the upstream fishery. That is why the project design includes an adjustable, naturalized barrier. It is engineered to let kayakers and native fish pass through, but it creates a velocity barrier that sea lampreys, which are not strong swimmers, cannot overcome. The Department of Natural Resources has signed off on the design, but critics argue it is an untested model at this scale. We will have to see how that engineered barrier performs in practice. In terms of timeline, the permitting process has been a marathon, involving multiple state and federal agencies, including the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. But with this funding secured, construction is slated to begin next spring. They will be using a phased construction approach to minimize disruption, essentially damming off half the river at a time to do the excavation and rock placement. The entire restoration is projected to be completed by 2028.
We should also touch on the public reaction. While there is widespread support for the environmental and recreational benefits, there are valid concerns about gentrification. Housing advocates worry that improving the riverfront will drive up property values and displace lower-income residents living in adjacent neighborhoods.
The city has responded to those concerns by emphasizing that the new public access points, the parks, the waiting areas, the trail connections are designed to be free and accessible to all residents, not just those who can afford luxury riverfront condos. But the pressure on housing prices is a reality the city will have to manage.
It is a complex project, but there is no denying it will fundamentally change the landscape of downtown Grand Rapids. We will be tracking the progress as they prepare for groundbreaking next year. Our next story takes us to the West Side, where the Grand Rapids City Council has unanimously approved a new 120-unit affordable housing development.
This is a significant development for a neighborhood that has been the epicenter of the city housing crunch. The West Side has seen rapid gentrification over the last 5 years, with an influx of breweries, restaurants, and luxury apartments. As a result, average rents in the area have spiked by 25% since 2021.
To address that pressure, this new project is reserving 80 of its 120 units for residents making below 60% of the area median income, or AMI. To put that in context, 60% AMI in Kent County is roughly $45,000 a year for a single person. The remaining 40 units will be rented at market rate.
Urban planners strongly advocate for this kind of mixed income model. Instead of isolating low-income residents in separate complexes, integrating affordable and market-rate units in the same building leads to better community outcomes and economic mobility.
The developer behind this is a local nonprofit housing organization. To make the financing work, they received a $2 million brownfield redevelopment incentive from the city. For those unfamiliar, a brownfield incentive helps developers cover the extra costs of cleaning up environmentally contaminated sites.
In this case, the site is a former industrial manufacturing facility that has sat vacant for over a decade. The soil requires significant remediation before any residential construction can begin, which is exactly what the brownfield program is designed to facilitate. Despite the clear need for affordable housing, the project did face some pushback from the neighborhood. During the public comment period at the city council meeting, several residents expressed deep concerns about parking density and traffic congestion, particularly on Bridge Street. The crux of the issue is that the development only includes 80 parking spots for its 120 units. Neighbors are worried that the overflow of resident vehicles will clog up the surrounding residential side streets, which are already tight on parking. The developer and the city countered that argument by pointing to the site location. It sits directly on the Laker Line, the city bus rapid transit route. The broader urban planning strategy is trying to reduce car dependency by encouraging higher density housing along major transit corridors. In fact, recent zoning changes in Grand Rapids have intentionally reduced minimum parking requirements for developments near transit hubs. The idea is to lower the cost of construction, because parking garages are incredibly expensive to build, and pass those savings on through lower rents. Another concern raised by neighbors was the sheer size of the building. It is a five-story structure, which some argued would tower over the adjacent single-family homes and change the character of the neighborhood.
To mitigate that, the architectural design incorporates step-backs on the upper floors, meaning the higher levels are set further back from the street to make the building feel less imposing to pedestrians. The ground floor will also feature community commercial space to blend in with the streetscape.
With the council approval secured, the developer is aiming to break ground late this fall, with the goal of having the building ready for leasing by early 2026.
It is a drop in the bucket compared to the estimated 10,000 housing units Grand Rapids needs to build to stabilize the market, but adding 80 deeply affordable units in a high-demand neighborhood is a definitive step forward.
For our final deep dive, the City of Grand Rapids has announced a new $5 million initiative to accelerate the replacement of lead water service lines in older neighborhoods.
This is crucial infrastructure work. Grand Rapids has been chipping away at this issue for years, but there are still an estimated 15,000 lead service lines active in the city. The primary challenge has always been the cost burden on homeowners.
Right, and that is where this new $5 million infusion comes in. Sourced from remaining federal American Rescue Plan Act funds, it allows the city to replace these lines at absolutely no direct cost to the homeowner.
That is the critical piece. Historically, the city would cover the cost of replacing the public portion of the line, from the street main to the property line, but the homeowner was entirely on the hook for the private portion running into their house.
And that private portion can cost upwards of $3,000 to $5,000 to replace, which is a massive financial barrier, especially for low-income families. Now, the city can cover the entire line, from the water main directly to the water meter inside the home.
It is a major public health priority, especially considering the tragic lessons learned from the Flint water crisis just across the state. While Grand Rapids water is treated with orthophosphate to coat the pipes and prevent lead from leaching, removing the lead pipes entirely is the only permanent fail-safe solution.
The Public Works Department is prioritizing neighborhoods with the highest concentration of older homes and historical data showing elevated lead risks. They are deploying crews starting next month.
It is an aggressive timeline. The state of Michigan passed strict lead and copper rules requiring all lead service lines to be replaced by 2041. But Grand Rapids is aiming to beat that state-mandated deadline by several years with this accelerated funding model.
Homeowners in the targeted zones will receive letters detailing the process. The city is also setting up an online portal where residents can check their address to see if they have a known lead service line.
Transparency is key here. The city is holding a series of town hall meetings next week to answer questions, because having your yard dug up is definitely disruptive, even if the end result is significantly safer drinking water. We will link to that online portal and the town hall schedule in our show notes for anyone living in those older Grand Rapids neighborhoods.
All right, that covers our main deep dives for the day. Let us hit a few more local updates real quick before we get out of here.
Sounds good. Let us get straight into the roundup.
Gerald R. Ford International Airport just reported its busiest May on record, with over 350,000 passengers traveling through the gates last month. That is a 15% increase from last year, largely driven by new direct routes added by budget carriers. It really highlights the region's strong post-pandemic travel boom.
A. Grand Rapids Public Schools is using a $500,000 federal grant to expand its after-school STEM programs to all middle schools in the district starting this fall.
It is a fantastic initiative, focusing heavily on robotics and coding, aiming to bridge the opportunity gap for students in underserved neighborhoods across the city.
Over in Lansing, state lawmakers are currently debating a revised road funding formula that could shift millions of dollars toward heavily trafficked counties, like Kent County officials say the change is desperately needed to maintain our rapidly deteriorating local infrastructure.
Finally, Frederick Meyer Gardens has announced a new international contemporary art exhibition opening this October, featuring large-scale installations from five different continents.
They always bring such incredible exhibits to West Michigan. This one will run through January, so locals will have plenty of time to check it out once the weather cools down.
That is gonna do it for us today on Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And enjoy this beautiful, mild weekend before the heat wave hits us next week. We will be back on Monday with more local news. Stay safe, Grand Rapids.